Judith asked me one time, she said, so if you're 37 years old, then how old am I? And I said, 38. So. Well, this is a special day. Every year we set aside the third Sunday in June as Father's Day. And that's the day that's set aside to honor and express gratitude to the men who take responsibility for and lead their families in so many ways across the course of the year. You know, one of the things I was thinking about when Kristen was doing our children's message a while ago, and we were looking at all of the different tools and such, is, and until you need them, you kind of take those tools for granted, don't you? And we're so grateful for you men. And dads, we honor you this morning. We appreciate all that you mean to your own families. Families are important to God. How do I know families are so important to God? Because that's what the Bible is all about. The Bible is the story of families. As Sam shared with you a little while ago, one of the things we're going to be doing beginning next Sunday and through the summer is we're going to use a different man from each of our folks who are involved in our ministry Bible study on Tuesday mornings to preach a Sunday evening message, and I ask each one of them to choose a most unforgettable character, a most unforgettable figure in Scripture. And if you're curious about who's going to preach which message, you can look in your bulletin and there's a list there of who's going to speak, what day they're going to speak, and who they're going to be sharing about. And they each got the opportunity to select. I had to break up a couple of fights over some of the biblical figures, but it's really going to be a good time. Families are important to the Lord. The Bible is the story of families, particularly in the Old Testament, all the way back at the beginning. If you talk about Genesis and ask, what is Genesis all about? Well, you could say Genesis is about the creation of the world and how God did that, but honestly, Genesis is the story of the patriarchs. And who are the patriarchs? They are the men God used to lead their families to make a difference for the Lord wherever He placed them and however He used them. And throughout the Old Testament, you continue to see how you have good kings and bad kings and good families and bad families, but you recognize it really is the story of how God works through families to bring about His will on the earth. The Lord loves families. And it's so important for us to know that, because today we really need to know that God is invested in the families of this church and the families of church meeting around us and the families of men who have yet to know Jesus but need to know Him desperately. I can't think of a time when families were more in need of the spiritual influence of committed fathers. This morning I challenge you as men to join your wife in being the most important spiritual influences in the lives of your children. You know, folks, we live in a time and an age these days when we no longer have the luxury of believing that we live in a spiritually benign world. We don't have the luxury of thinking that our children are going to raise their children in a place where being a Christian is an easy thing and an accepted thing and an expected thing. Your children are exposed every day to forces that are hungry to do them harm, to steal their faith, to damage their souls. I know a lot of men and women who think, if it were just possible, I would scoop up my little ones and I would take them somewhere where the world can't get to them, and I would protect them and inoculate them and keep them away from the influences that surround them. But that's impossible. You know that no matter how hard you try, you can't do it. Not by yourself. What does God want us to do in the midst of this kind of world? Well, I think the Lord wants you to go on the offense, to do everything you can to build your families into strong believers who are prepared for whatever may come. So what do? You protect them and you take care of them. You teach them and you lead them and you prepare them to live for Christ in a difficult world. What's the greatest job that you're given as fathers this morning? It is to guide your families to know and follow Jesus. Oh, there are a lot of other things you're going to do, but nothing else that's nearly as important. But we're not the first generation that's faced that challenge. Christian parents have always had to deal with that challenge. There's a reason that Satan has never had to invent any new temptations. And that's because the old ones are still working just fine. And what he did for last generation, he's doing in this generation, and he will for generations to come. But if he's doing that, we also need to know that God has given us timeless answers in his word about how to guide our families. This morning, I want us to go to the 128th Psalm, because there it talks to men about how to guide and provide for your families, how to lead them in a way that honors Jesus and prepares them to live for him. So let me invite you to go with me to that psalm, and we'll camp out there for a little while this morning. The first thing it tells us is this: to lead your family, you must begin with your own spiritual walk. Before you can worry about what's going on in the lives of my children or my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren, you really need to start by asking the question, what's going on in my life? What is God doing in my own spiritual walk? And that's why Psalm 128:1 begins by declaring, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his way." Now, the 128th Psalm from beginning to end is all about family, but it begins by talking about believers. What does it mean to be a man who guides his family because he's made a serious commitment to walk with Christ as a believer? It is a description of a godly family, but it begins by challenging parents regarding their own spiritual lives. You know, fathers come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. Some of us are tall and some of us are short. Some of us are thin and some are not as thin. We come from different places, different backgrounds, different kinds of families, different ways of growing up. But one thing is true of every man, and it is this: you want the best for your family. You're committed to providing them with the things that you can give them, whether it's a secure home or material needs or letting them know how much you love them. You want to guide them every step as they grow. You want to help them become men and women of great strength. And if you want to give them the best gift you can offer them, it would be to make a commitment right here, right now. And that commitment is this: because I love my family, because I want them to have and be everything they can possibly be, I will walk with Jesus in my own heart and let my family see the evidence of that walk. I will walk with Jesus in my own heart and let my family see me walking with Jesus. Your children need to witness the life of a deeply spiritual father. And until your own faith is all it should be, you can't pass that gift on. If you don't have it, you can't pass it on. What's the most important thing any of us can do as fathers on this Father's Day? It is to say again to the Lord, "I commit myself to you." Whether your children are young, whether your children are middle-sized, whether your children are older, whether your children grew up and went away a long time ago, they're still looking. And they need to see you walking with the Lord. So dads, as your pastor this morning, I have to ask you, how is your personal relationship with Christ? Right here, this day, right now, how's your walk with the Lord? Is it everything it ought to be? Are you letting it show in front of those who love you the most? So many men would like to say, "You know what, my faith, that's a private thing. It's just between the Lord and me. The problem is that's almost never true. Whether or not you're walking in the faith affects so many people around you, so many people who are watching you, and your personal relationship with Christ is between you and Him and the family who knows you best and loves you most. It's not just between you and Him. It's between you and Him and those who are paying attention to how you walk with Him. So if I could say anything to you this morning, it would be simply this. So take a look at your own walk with Christ and ask yourself the question, am I living a life that is worthy of being followed by the ones who are watching me most closely? Because here's the truth. Dads who are family leaders model God's love in their homes. Your entire family needs to see you living for Christ. Your wife needs to experience the love and strength of a godly husband. I love the way the Bible describes that in verse 3 where it says, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Fruitful. Fruitfulness is the result of deliberate cultivation. It's never the result of carelessness or neglect. The Bible is saying this, when you relate to that one that God has given to you, make that relationship a fruitful relationship. Invest yourself in it. Cultivate it. Make it deep and rich. Nothing will give your children a greater sense of security than knowing you are committed to the Lord and you're committed to one another. And the heart of the home is where things happen, where things come to life. And the Bible says your wife shall be that fruit and the heart of the home. And your job is to set her free to do exactly that, to be the heart of the home, that place where love is evident and nothing is hidden and faith is real. Remember this. Someday, when your kids are walking with Christ, somebody's going to ask them about the greatest spiritual influence in their lives. And today is when you're deciding that person will be you. Now, I'm saying that to you men, but let me say this, and to you teenage guys and college guys and children, you guys, today is the day when you're making that decision as well. Today is the day when you're making the decision, when that time comes and I have my own family, I want to make the decision right here, right now. I'm going to be the most important spiritual influence in their lives. Like everything else that matters the most, you don't wait until it's right in front of you. You don't wait until your family has begun and then begin to ask the question, what kind of father do I want to be? You make that decision right now. This is who I'm going to be. This is how I'm going to guide my family. And from this point until that time comes, I will grow myself to be that man. Never miss the opportunity to live for the Lord in the heart of your home. Reveal His presence in the words you say, the actions you choose, the life you live. Make it personal. I think I've told you this story before, but if so, endure me because I'm going to tell it again. I'll never forget when my kids were... right at the verge of teenage. I think Jamie was a teenager, Bethany was about to be, and I thought to myself one day, you know what, I want to tell my kids about my spiritual journey. I want them to know what the Lord has done in my life. And so I sat them down one night in the den, and I told them my story. I talked about how my parents raised me in a Christian home. I talked about how when I was about Ember's age, I came to know Jesus as Savior. And I talked about those times when I drifted from the Lord, but how He always seemed to haul me back. And I talked about how He dealt with me and convicted me and compelled me. And I guess Christian used his hammer on me to call me into ministry. And about how the Lord had provided me with a wife that I could love, and how God had been with me. I took an hour telling my kids the story of my spiritual journey, because I didn't want them to ever come to a point of saying, you know, I don't really know anything about my dad's walk with God. And it went really well, I thought. I thought I did a stellar job. And after I was done, I got up and I left the room, and Judith and the kids were still sitting in the den, and Bethany looked over and she said, Mom, is Dad dying? You know, it's important though, isn't it, to tell your story to the people who matter the most to you. Men who are godly influencers, invest in their lives and help them become everything they ought to be. And the 128th Psalm also tells us this, that dads who are godly models are committed to active leadership. You know, if there's any problem that I see in the evangelical church today, it is this, that there are just too many men who think the spiritual welfare of their children, that's mom's job. Mom, you take them to Sunday school. Mom, you take them to church. Mom, you sit down with them and talk about spiritual things. Mom, you help them come to know Jesus as Savior. But let me tell you this, a man who walks with God is an irreplaceable influence in a growing child's life. Now listen, I'm not denigrating the influence of a mother. Mom is the heart of the home. But look at how the 128th Psalm continues in verse 3. It says, your children will be like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Just like a fruitful vine, an olive tree needs to be nourished and watered in order to thrive. And the Bible says, the children of a godly man gather around him waiting to be nourished. They thrive when they're encouraged and led and taught and guided by a man who loves the Lord. The most powerful, spiritually powerful influence in the world is a man who decides to live as a Christian father in the midst of his home. Now, I believe that with all of my heart. That when we make the decision, my kids are going to watch me. You are a person with power. And if you forfeit that role, your children find it harder to flourish the way God wants them to. Psalm 128, I think, shows the way clearly. It says this, the mother is to be the heart of the family, the emotional, loving center of it all. The father is called to be the family's leader, to set the pace, to establish the boundaries, to provide spiritual direction. And God's plan is that together you raise your family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is saying it is essential that everybody plays their role in the lives of their families. But the Bible's not through yet. It also says this, and God's call to fathers is the call of a lifetime. I love what the Bible says in verses 5 and 6. It says, the Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. What is the Bible talking about? Legacy. Legacy. Your faith is passed on to your children. Your children pass that faith on to their children. And that means that no matter what else I may accomplish, no matter what I'm able to provide for my family, I'm ultimately a failure if this thing doesn't matter the most. If I'm not committed to creating a spiritual legacy that will follow through my family for generations yet to come, then no matter what else I've accomplished, I have failed. If you're the greatest success the world has ever seen, as far as the world is concerned, but once you die, your influence is over, you're a failure. It is as you influence, as you commit yourself to building a spiritual legacy, that you see God at work in your heart. If I make the main thing the main thing, if I make my spiritual influence the greatest gift I offer, then whatever else may happen in my life, I have accomplished God's greatest plan. A faithful legacy is a lifetime call. One of the things that I'm learning that some of you have known for a long time is this: because there's never a time in your influence in your family when you can say, my job is finished. You know, early on you think, okay, I'll get them ready to graduate from high school, then my job is finished. Okay, I'll see them through their college years, but when they graduate and go out into the world on their own, then my job is finished. Okay, I'll stick with it until they choose their own mate, their husband, their wife, and form their own home, and then my job is finished. But you know, the thing that I learn as another generation has begun in our family is there's never that time when your job is finished. There's never that time when you say, I let go. Now, what do we do at our house? Well, yesterday, along with everything else, we went and celebrated a one-year-old birthday with one who's a three-year-old. And I find that I'm already praying about when they come to know Christ as Savior. Because your job is never finished. So men, on this Father's Day, let me challenge you. Continue to build a legacy. Not just any legacy, but a spiritual legacy of following Jesus. And it begins with a personal relationship with Him. And maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ. You've not experienced what Ember has experienced when he invited Jesus into his heart as Savior and Lord. Maybe today that's exactly what you need to do. And if you're here, man or woman, boy or girl, and you've never accepted Jesus, today should be the day. When we stand and sing in a minute, if you'll come here to the front, I'll be glad to meet you and introduce you to the one who loves you more than anybody. Or maybe God is saying, you know, part of building the spiritual legacy of your family is to plant yourself right here with real membership and serving Him through this place. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. We're going to stand, we're going to sing. As God speaks to you, you come. Let's stand together. Thank you. been a good day in God's house. I'm glad we got to spend this time together to learn more from the Lord's Word about how to be those fathers that the Lord uses to make a difference. Remember, we won't be back this evening, no evening worship, so you can spend time with dads, you can take them out somewhere good to eat, and share gifts, or do whatever it is your family wants to do to make our men know how special they are in the lives of their family. Let's bow together for a final prayer, and then one last song as we're dismissed. So, Father, we want to pray. Help us to be the men you've called us to be. Lord, help us to cultivate, to invest, to love, to care, to trust you, to follow you, to be used by you, to bless and enrich and guide our homes. And Lord, we thank you for all the folks here today, Father, who walk with you and love you, who serve you and bless their homes. Lord, let our lives, let our church be a legacy. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.